All right. Well, I don't really need to talk any more about myself. I want to present to you results from some of the teams that I work with and have the honor of leading at Monsanto, and some of the collaborations that we work on as well. You know, we're really at Monsanto, we're working to try to help some of the solutions that farmers have in the field, in crop plants, to be able to increase productivity. And of course, a big part of that is dealing with the stresses and the availability of nutrients in the field that are often very limiting, or become limiting during the crop season. You can see that over the last several decades, we've been able to, as a global agricultural community, produce substantially more in the attempt to feed the world, and we've done that without substantially changing the amount of land that's been brought into production. And this is key when we think about moving into the future, that we can't simply increase productivity by bringing more marginal lands into production. And what has allowed that productivity to increase? I mean, this work has been well documented by some in the audience, even that a major part of the improvements that have occurred over this amount of time haven't been in some of the fundamental things like number of years or the plant size or the photosynthetic efficiency, but the improvement has come from the ability of the plants to withstand additional stresses. Typically, those stresses are encountered as densities have been increased and as the stress on an individual plant has increased because of the per unit or per land per unit plant has changed over that time. So as technology has progressed, we believe that it's now time for our opportunities exist for biotechnology to progress into the more complex traits of yield and stress. So early on, we've been working on in the biotechnology in relatively non-complex systems. Not that it's not hard to develop these products and make them useful in agriculture, but in many cases, such as insect tolerance, we're simply asking the plant to express a protein and be inert with regards to the activities of the plant itself. As we move forward and try to tackle something like yield and stress, traits. We're looking for now genes that have the ability to interact with and augment the growth, development, response to stresses in the environment. And this is a fundamental paradigm shift in the complexity of the systems. So we have opportunities to apply different disciplines from gene discovery through field testing into modeling. We have the opportunity to apply greater and greater types of technology that are more revealing, more information, have higher information content. But we still have a big challenge in bringing that together into approaches to actually changing and improving the development and stress tolerance of the plant. We've been able to... as science has progressed and genomics tools have become available, we've been able to find genes much more readily. We can study expression of those genes. We can put them into model systems and even crop plants by the hundreds or thousands. But one of the big problems that we have is translating that result from, as stated by the organizers, translating those physiological or trait impacts that we see in model plants such as Arabidopsis to making them truly applied solutions for agriculture in crop systems. So we take the approach of using these diverse data sets and attempting to either take the result that we've seen by transgenic manipulation or prediction and modify some of these components that are elements of the performance and tolerance that's seen in the field. And then by successfully modifying these, we hope to be able to modify the more complex trait that is the final result of the interaction of those individual traits. So what we have as our primary approach at Monsanto in collaboration with BASF is a yield and stress pipeline where we put large numbers of genes in through transformation into the crops. We characterize those events and take them out into multi-year field evaluations and controlled environment evaluations as well. From that, we hope to find genes that have the promise, that give us the initial indication of better performance, that we take into subsequent phases where we confirm the commercial potential of these genes and go through the process of deregulation and enter the production phase, which allows us to actually introduce those materials into the crop system itself. We believe that the best way to do that is by collecting as many types of data and integrating those data types. And I'll try to focus on some examples of that as we go forward. But the example here is corn with drought genes, intrinsic genes, or genes that work well under broadacre conditions as well as under nitrogen stress conditions. An example of individual constructs in each different constructs in each of these families where we actually measure the yield performance in field conditions, either under drought stress conditions or nitrogen stress conditions. In many cases, simultaneously, we're working when this field test is occurring for more characterization of things like the metabolite profile of these plants to see to characterize the modifications we've made and the physiological characterization, either in the greenhouse or by characterizing the performance and established yield prediction equations in the field. So I want to highlight a little bit with one of the examples is a commitment we made to put together an automated greenhouse where we basically use the combination of different skills and techniques to create something that allows us to characterize these plants. In the example of corn, we test these plants under non-stressed, water-stressed, and nitrogen-stressed conditions. You can see from the examples of the plant phenotypes that we're achieving those stresses in the greenhouse. And I want to show you an example of how that greenhouse runs. So this is something we established at the Research Triangle Park location for us. The plants are all treated individually and live their lives on conveyor belts. We have several miles of conveyor belts and individual plants are sorted. Every day they enter this automation line where they are weighed and imaged from the top, and then they're reoriented for the camera. They pass in front of a camera where both visible and hyperspectral data is collected, and then they travel to the end of the line where the weight of the pot, the weight of the plant, the size of the plant has been calculated, and individual amounts of water or fertilizer are applied to each plant. They then travel back into the greenhouse in a randomized manner so that we can, the next day when they travel back out, they'll come in a different order, and this is a mechanism that we have to help evaluate this large pathway of transgenic plants that we're working on. What I'll show you in this slide as it builds here is, first of all, on the top is a transgenic plant and the bottom is a control and a time lapse and with some of the different parameters that we measure. And you'll see that in the red line is the representation of the plant with the gene. And by the end of this growth phase, more robust growth at the top, near the top, this is under a nitrogen stress. You can see that our biomass has been increased, canopy area has been increased. This doesn't tell us we've got a commercial product, but it tells us something about what effect the transgene has had that we've introduced into the plant. We can look across this pipeline of material now, and just taking a couple of examples of biomass and chlorophyll and the different conditions of non-stressed, water deficit, and nitrogen deficit, and ask the question of how many plants are positive or negative in that aspect that we've run through. And you can see, for example, with chlorophyll, it's difficult to find differences in chlorophyll content of the plant under normal conditions. However, we go down to something like a nitrogen deficit where the plants will pale out, will turn yellow. We can find many more examples where the transgene is given a positive effect there. Similarly, with biomass, where the response varies by the condition that the plant is in. Again, giving us a sense of what these plants are doing. What do we do with that information? Well, here's an example from soybean where we have three different constructs. And just to orient you, there's a non-stress condition and a water deficit condition. The green symbols indicate different parameters that are positive. Gray is non-significant. So the first construct is positive in many parameters under water deficit. The second construct is kind of the mirror of that. Very few changes under water deficit, but a lot of improvement under nitrogen stress. Or, you know, we have similar constructs that perform the same way. So the question becomes then, how can we use these transgenes to either, because yield is multigenic, no matter if it's a transgene or native genes, how do we take these effects that we've seen and either test for complementarity of the effects or for additivity of the effects and take those back into field evaluations. Metabolic profiling, as I mentioned before, is another data layer type that we try to place on top of this. We do this in collaboration with BASF, who has a metanomics facility in Berlin. We take large numbers of samples in the field in the Midwest and transport those to Berlin where we perform the analysis. And you'll see examples like this where three different constructs under nitrogen stress, two different tissue types, the root and the shoot, and you can see differential response for things like major amino acids where in one case we have both a positive response in both tissue types. In other cases, we have the opposite of that, or we have one type that's affected. Some constructs that have broader effects on other amino acids and so forth. And again, another insight into what is going on in the plants. We can use controlled environments in other ways as well, such as hydroponics. We know that environment itself will cause the plants to respond differentially, such as this corn root architecture in response to nitrogen availability. And we can look at the response then under sufficient nitrogen, grown for a little bit longer period of time of some of the genes that we have and perhaps become better able to explain what's going on with those. Ultimately, what we need to really describe what's going on with these plants is to have integrate this on top of what the crop system itself is doing and what it tells us, so we can collect the information from the field, such as the phenology, the environmental conditions, understand the germplasm that we've transformed and so forth, and look at the impact on the yield equation to say, where is this effect coming from, which ultimately helps us describe the effect that the combine is able to measure in the field. But combines are a big part of our tools as well. This is an example of a nitrogen stress trial where we have several thousand plots laid out under limiting nitrogen as well as sufficient nitrogen. Hopefully you can see the color differential from where you're at. We're looking for those plants, again, on a plot basis that can perform better under these conditions to begin to understand when we go to a full crop system, a full field basis, where we have positive responses and how we can, again, use that for a utility, for final utility in the field. So what we've been able to do over several years in a program that's been changing over time is across several different crops now, we've been able to find many genes that have some response. We've been able to find some that are robust and rugged enough that We've been able to advance them into development, and we continue to think of this as a basically, we use the terminology, a family of genes that will have to be introduced. So what we've successfully been able to do is create genetic variability, like a breeder's able to do, except we're doing it with trans genes. We're able to put it under conditions that are perhaps more selective or more specific than a breeder would characterize because of the specific information that we're looking to derive and the greater degree of understanding we need to have on what is causing the yield effect. And then we're, when we have that yield effect and feel it's robust enough, able to move it forward. We have a couple of examples that are kind of moving forward in a corn program, just to show you. We hope to be able to, this is our most advanced transgene. It's targeted for the western dryland areas for corn. The gene itself, yeah, all right. The gene itself is a CSPB gene. It's a cold shock protein, an RNA chaperone, that we've been able to show that when these plants express this transgene, we get higher yield. And we've been able to characterize both molecularly as well as from the deconstruction of the yield itself, where that yield is coming from. We're able to show that the plants, when they begin experiencing drought, maintain photosynthesis at a higher rate for a longer period of time, that these plants are able to maintain a higher number of kernels maintain the potential for larger kernel number, and then when the conditions allow for it, we can fill those kernels and result in a higher yield at the back end, which is ultimately the performance we're looking for. Just another quick example in nitrogen. Under nitrogen limitations, we can show significant yield enhancements with different transgenes there as well. And ultimately, what we're looking to do, again, is from the biotechnology perspective, from the plant breeding perspective, and from the agronomic system perspective, help manage the risk in a production system. So what transgenes can we bring in that will help mitigate some of the risk? Breeders will continue to generate germplasm that's able to have greater degree of tolerance for the stresses that's assumed are encountered in the field, and then the agronomic systems themselves can be modified and changed to maximize the performance overall, and believe that it's an integrated approach that will ultimately lead us to a solution. In doing this work, we attempt to collaborate with a large number of individuals, both to help in the discovery of genes, characterization of the genes, and very close partnership with BASF on this. And I'll stop with thanking the many Monsanto team members that contribute to this, colleagues that we have in other companies such as BASF, and I thank you for your attention. Yeah, so the question was on the drought gene, that photosynthesis continues for a longer period of time. Of course, and the question is that because the stomata are staying open? And of course, that's a element of it. It's required for the photosynthesis to occur for the stomata to still be open. But that's not the entire story. I mean, clearly, if stomata were unregulated, that would be a detriment to the plant and we'd lose too much water through transpiration. So
what else is there?
There's it's the overall ability of the plant to kind of sense and respond. So it actually is assuming these growth changes in a more rapid manner than or adapting to the limited conditions quicker than what the wild type plant is doing. Yeah, way back in the back.
Sometimes in the natural
condition, drought and nitrogen are combined.
So the point about the confounding effects of the different stresses, and even those that we didn't intend to apply, such as heat stress, and absolutely there's a confounding effect. That's really why we need to get into more complete characterization in field trials themselves, and that's where if we can get appropriate environmental characterization of what's occurred at those locations, and a sufficient amount of data, we can begin dissecting the effects, which stresses are most impactful, or which types of stresses are we most able to mitigate with the introduction of these transgenes.
One more question.
When you show this maintenance of photosynthesis of plant performance extending out over a longer period, if you don't alleviate that, does the plant eventually just crash and end up worse than the wild type? Or what happens when you really extend it?
Well, so eventually they do come back together. It doesn't cause the plant to crash. We don't see that effect at all. What it does is it sets it up with a higher kernel number so that if conditions improve, it's able to take advantage of those conditions.
So we need to move on. So thank you very much again.